Welcome to the second season of No More Silence, a podcast where young voices take the mic.
Each month, we sit down with high school and college students, local educators, and community leaders from Toledo to share real stories, raw emotions, and honest conversations about life, community, and everything in between. No More Silence hopes to highlight the change makers in our community, and in every episode, you'll hear real stories of grief, healing, and resilience from high school students who are speaking up about the pain, the loss, and the strength it takes to move forward.
These aren't just stories, they're truths that matter. This is more than a podcast, it's a space to be heard, it's a space to be human.
This is No More Silence. My name is Shaima Abdel Halim.
And I'm Amanda Hatton. Let's get started. This episode was inspired by the Youth Summit to Prevent Youth Violence, a partnership between Save Our Community and Rogers High School Fearless Writers in RAM Empowerment Project. Early college students from Youth Creating Change did a peer presentation on healthy relationships. In this episode, we attempt to duplicate this important conversation. We are excited to be joined by Early College's group, Youth Creating Change. Students will introduce themselves as they answer questions.
My name is Mona Alhiani, and I have been a Toledo Public School teacher for 30 years now. I currently teach at Toledo Early College High School, and I advise a group called Youth Creating Change. Part of the reason I created Youth Creating Change was because of the work I do with the Toledo Federation of Teachers, which is anti-trafficking work, human rights work, and civil rights, and social justice work. So creating Youth Creating Change was just an organic way for me to bring in my expertise and what I do in the community with at-risk youth to students here in Toledo Public Schools and throughout the state. So Youth Creating Change is a group that is always willing to come out and talk to at-risk students, to provide workshops for them, to provide safe spaces for them. And we really focus on healthy relationships, their emotional and social and mental well-being, consent, and all the risk factors that could lead to trafficking, but hopefully do not. And my group of students is the hardest working group I know, and I know that they are always going to take what they learned here in Youth Creating Change and apply it to the community throughout the rest of their lives.
So where do you see the biggest gap between how teens support each other and how adults think peer support should work? How can peers show that vulnerability and emotional expression are strengths instead of weaknesses?
Hello, my name is Naomi, and I go to Toledo Early College, and I am a junior. My answer to that question is that teens basically support each other more informally. We do things like memes or things of that sort to kind of say, hey, I'm here for you, but not in a feely way, because sometimes we kind of get scared to share our feelings, but we want to tell our friends that we are there for each other. And adults may think that we should support each other by like getting gatherings or things of that sort, but the problem is sometimes it's really hard to get all of the friend group in one place or things of that sort. So I feel like that's the biggest gap, because we don't share a lot with each other and we're always scared to talk to one another. So we just do it very informally, like, hey, I'm here, things of that sort.
Hello, my name is Santana Castaneda. I'm a junior at Toledo Early College. And I feel like an image that you would send to somebody to support them would be kind of like a photo, or like that has like a phrase that says like hang in there, and maybe have like maybe like a GIF for an example.
Hi, my name is Samuel Butcher, and I go to Toledo Early College, and I'm a senior. And I think another good image or video would be, or actually a good phrase, and like a known phrase now is like clock it. So it's a good support message because it shows like that they're like they're supporting you and they admire what you're doing and they like they look up to you like that. They look up to you.
I'm Gabby and I am a sophomore and I attend Toledo Early College. And for me personally, it really just like depends on how comfortable like we are with each other as friends. So I feel like if I'm really close to you, I'll like talk to you first and like talk it out and whatever. And then by the end of the, like when the conversation is like close to ending, I'll send like memes. You'd be like, there's this one that I use often. It's like a little baby holding two thumbs up and it's like, you're doing great or something like that. But you know, just something like silly.
This is Naomi again. I feel like the gap is also as teens, we create group chats. I don't know if adults really create group chats or anything of that sort, but teens create group chats and everything that we want to talk about is literally there. Sometimes we don't even talk to each other in person because we already talked about it in the group chat, but that's kind of something informal that we do and that's different from adults.
This is Santana again. I feel like another way that teens support each other is kind of bouncing off of what Naomi said earlier about informally. I feel like in some instances, some teens can support each other, but it doesn't look like that at all. It could look like the complete opposite. Like they'll joke about it or they'll probably like make fun of some of their friend, but they all know, but it's probably like an informal type of like code to say like, hey, you know, I can joke with you about this and like it's gonna be okay basically. So I feel like the informal part is also another important part of how teens show support. People who are, you know, teens who are friends, they'll have like inside jokes and stuff. Yeah. And so somebody who's not in on that joke doesn't understand it. So on the outside, it may look like, oh, that's offensive or like that's not nice, which I'm not saying that it probably is or isn't, but it's also about that connection that you have with that person too. So you can't just say that to anybody.
Another thing also, we shorten phrases a lot. So adult might not understand what we're saying because for some reason, I guess teens don't really want to write the full thing anymore. So we shorten a lot of stuff. And if adults look at it, it'll probably think it's like a different language. But yeah, that's what we also use to kind of just make it more lighter or fun. But that's what we do.
I would say that, like, I feel like the way people communicate now has, like, definitely changed over time. Because back then, I feel like people were much more serious than we are today.
This is Samuel again. I think a good way to show that vulnerability is a strength is if you verbally say it, like, hey, I'm not going to judge you. You can tell me. This is a no judgment zone, so you can tell me anything that is bothering you. Cause most of the time after someone tells you or vents to you about something, they'll probably feel like that weight is off their shoulders. And so it's a better way to move on. And you'll probably just like forget about it, most likely within seconds, minutes, hours, days. It's possible.
Going based off what he said, like for me, if I'm like talking to a friend and I know there's something off about them, I'll make sure that they know that they have like a free space to talk about it if they want to. And I make that clear to them. And then afterwards, if they do end up telling me, I also tell them, like, I'm glad you were able to open up to me. Like, if you ever need to talk to me again, I'm here for you, stuff like that. Because like some things that they tell me is like really hard for someone to say. So of course, like I'm going to make sure that they know that they're like able to open up to somebody and they can't like, they don't have to hold it in to themselves the whole time. Like they can talk to people about it. So when I see my friends, when I say that they look off, I mean like they look more down than usual. They're more quiet to themselves and like they're not really like involving themselves in the conversation or whatever. Like, especially when we're in a big group, it's easy to notice.
This is Naomi. One way that you can help yourself to show emotions to others is to be aware of what you're consuming all the time. Because in social media, it is very easy for people to think that sharing or being sad or having feelings is like weak or it's not cool. And you should be aware of what you're consuming all the time, because then when your friends are sharing something vulnerable, you're telling them, oh, you probably shouldn't do that because it's not, you know, normalized or it's not cool. So you yourself, you should try to look at stuff and consume stuff that actually goes with being okay with being emotional with yourself and with others also. So you can be able to share that vulnerableness with another peer.
How can teens support one another in building friendships in dating relationships based on respect, consent, and trust, while still giving each other space to grow and make their own choices?
This is Sam again. I feel that a good way for teens to support each other, especially with friendships and dating, is just, honestly, is just taking the time to like talk to each other. So like calling, talking to each other in person when they have free time, and even making like a small support group, posting quotes of your stories, or just like, you know, showing each other like posts that are like filled with positivity. It'll honestly brighten someone's day and just kind of make them feel more motivated to open up and to talk to each other. Pretty much just spreading positivity and opening up, or helping someone open up and, you know, being like respectful to how they open up.
So like you said, having that positive energy is always a good thing, because like, I guess for me, I feed off my friends' energy. Like when someone's down, I can be down. Someone's like happy, I'll be happy. But like knowing that you have a safe space and like good group to like talk to about how you're feeling and all that, it just like, I guess it could help you have a better mindset and like, so being like open-minded to how others, like being open-minded and being like able to like read the room, I guess that can like still like help you and your friends grow together. So for my close friends, I'm going to support them no matter what, with what, like whatever decision they make. But if I see anything that's off or any like red flags, I'll like slightly bring it up to them and let them figure out themselves, because I'm not the one to be taking control over what's going on in your life.
Many young people hear "just tough it out" from peers when they're hurting. What are better ways teens can respond so friends can feel safe to share struggles instead of hiding them?
Hello, my name is Naomi. This kind of goes with the question a bit that I was saying before, that a lot of people normalize not sharing feelings because, again, because it's normalized, but because of what we consume. And the phrase of saying just tough it out, it's a really sad thing to say to your friend if they're trying to get at least a safe space to talk to you. I've never had somebody say that to me, but I feel like that's something that I would probably not be friends with them if they said that. But I feel like better ways that we can respond to that, because a lot of times when someone is sharing a lot of things on you, you're probably having your bad day also, that you just don't want to hear that maybe. But there's other ways that you can reply to that better. Like stating, I hear you and I feel for you. And also, you just need to listen to them. You don't need to say anything at all. You just need to be someone that they can listen to, and hopefully they can be able to listen to your struggles too when that time comes. So you can normalize within your friend group or that friend specifically that it is okay to ask for help. And that their mental health is really important, because if their mental health isn't good, you won't really realize that they're your friends anymore, because they act way differently than before. So you need to try to help them out, and they will help you out too, to just create a cohesive environment for each other.
What strategies do you think work best for starting peer-to-peer conversations about healthy dating, friendship conflicts, or emotional stress, especially when a friend might be reluctant to open up?
Hey, it's Sam again.
A good way to address these issues is to think about how you're feeling. Because if you think about how you're feeling, then it really makes you realize, was I really okay with something that made me feel not the greatest? So if you think about it, if you think about an issue that a friend or your partner said to you or did to you that you felt kind of threatened or just you didn't feel uplifted by, it would be a good thing to think about it and get your feelings together to see how you felt. And then if you are really comfortable and are willing to fix this or address the problem, it would be good to go up to that person and tell them how you felt and why something they did or anything made you feel a certain way. And it would be a good way to not ghost them completely, but just to like address it and get like your reasoning out. And it's best to like not do it in like a rude manner, but just like be confident about it and just to express your feelings about anything that's been going on. Cause personally, I had a situation kind of recently with a friend or with someone who I felt I felt kind of hurt by it. I felt pretty hurt by it. I got my feelings together, talked about how I felt with some other friends, and they told me to, you know, address how you're feeling. And to me, it was a good way to just express how I was feeling, even without being like rude. It helped me express how I was feeling and just to address the elephants, just so there isn't a big barrier.
The best strategies that I thought for like starting peer-to-peer conversations when they might be like iffy about opening up to you, I said that if they know that there are other people with similar, like in the similar situation, I guess it would make them feel more comfortable opening up to you because they know they're not the only one out there, I guess.
How can school clubs, after-school groups, or youth-led projects like Youth Creating Change at Toledo Early College High School provide safe spaces for friends to speak up about unhealthy relationships or personal pain?
So my name's Santana, and I feel like school clubs and just extracurricular things in general can help them open up because, for the most part, students will be, what's the word, driven towards the activities or clubs that they're interested in. So I feel like, so say for example, like gaming club is going on just now, right? So if you like games, you would go to that club. And I know that when you're doing something that you enjoy, you tend to, that's when you're at your peak energy level. Like that's when you feel the best. And when you are probably more willing to open up to other people around you. So I feel like, if you're playing games and if you find out, oh, hey, I like this game. And this person says, oh, I like this game too. And so you find a common trait. So I feel like if you find things that similarities with others, I feel like clubs can be a very effective way to do that. Trust is everything. Trust allows conversations to even happen before they start. Like, say, for example, like even if you may not have anything on your mind necessarily that you want to talk about, trust allows you to open up to other people. So if I do have something that's on my mind, I can go out and I know that, hey, I can trust this person. I can be myself. I can relieve all of what's stressing me out. And hopefully because I trust them, they'll respond in a way that's healthy.
What examples have you seen of teens modeling healthy communication and boundaries, such as around personal space, consent, or emotional privacy, that help their friends learn and feel safe.
My name is Naomi. This goes with YCC, Youth Creating Change. A lot of communication and boundaries is really well seen in this after-school program because it goes with personal space and, well, it goes with all of these here and most importantly, makes people feel safe, especially it has to, because we do iFest and it helps me feel safe because I'm able to share my culture with other people and I don't have to feel bad about it because I know when I first came to America, I kind of had like bullying a bit when I was little and I just didn't feel safe at all. And with this, when I came here in this school, I started to feel a bit more safer to express myself and to just communicate with my teachers. And Ms. Al has really, I feel like, helped us all to be able to understand that it is okay to feel feelings and emotions and that she's always there and other people are here to help you. iFest is an international festival, so different cultures come. We do foods and there's also performance that we do. And it's just a very cool experience for other people to see because other people have different cultures too and they might be a bit scared to go up there or do something about it, but you can just communicate and be able to help in any aspect of the iFest.
It's Gabby. And for me, I feel like ever since I joined this group, I've been more like out there, I guess. And like, cause I used to be like all to myself and I would like, I didn't talk to people. I was like really nervous, basically antisocial. But since I joined this group, I feel like I've really opened up and started talking to like a lot more people than I did before. So like from that, I just like understand that there's a comfortable space for me and that there's people I can talk to if I ever need to.
So this is Santana. I feel like a way that YCC has helped us is, has helped me is like how Gabby said, just being around people. Who I probably wouldn't have talked to if I wasn't in YCC. Like our youth summit that we did last year, I feel like when we're presenting it to other people, like it makes us aware of it too, because you have to know what you're presenting. But also takes you take a step back and look at yourself and be like, oh, okay, I know what consent is, personal space. Okay, I can apply this stuff to my life. So I feel like consent definitely was an important thing that I think everybody needs to know. Consent was really just important about that no means no, and that people have, everybody deserves boundaries, you know.
Hello, this is Samuel. Another good way that YCC has helped me, and to be honest, personally helped me, was to just allow me to grow, because I feel like ever since I joined the club, it allowed me to grow and, like Gabby and Santana said, come out my shell more and like to build more connections with people, because when you're in a group like that, like this, it helps you build more bonds and build more healthier bonds because it's a really good safe space. And this group addresses issues in general, so like, we made cards for a student who unfortunately passed due to a tragedy, but it allowed personally me to be more empathetic and just to be like sensitive and be aware of how, just of anything sensitive or anything going on.
I don't know if this is going to make sense, but this group, I guess, YCC, there's like, we have one main focus, which is like, you know, youth creating change, and we're all here for that reason. So I feel like that's one common thing that brings us together. So then like being in this group, I guess we just get to know each other more every day.
What peer-led initiatives or resources have you seen that successfully reduce the stigma of getting counseling or other mental health support, especially for youth who've been told to be strong or shake it off?
This is Naomi. This isn't a peer-led one. The one that I'm going to answer with this is basically a class that we have to take, which is health. And health goes through a lot of things that, like, relationships, health-wise, or anything. But it just goes, I know that there was a section for relationships that we went through, and we even, like, had a section for, like, intercourse and all those stuff. So it just kind of made it seem that, because a lot of times it's a taboo to talk about those stuff and it's a bit awkward, but it kind of led me to know that it is okay to get counseling or to think about your mental health and how all these other aspects could be affecting you, and for you to not say, oh, I have to be strong or shake it off or things of that sort. But YCC is also kind of like a peer-led resources that has kind of helped me reduce that stigma, because like we were saying earlier about the cards, that's just some way that we can be able to support the friends of the girl, or just support anybody who knew the girl in a good way.
So this is Santana, and I feel like another peer-led initiative that is seen success in reducing the stigma of getting counseling and other mental health support is that I'm a part of another club called Team Pep, and what we're in charge of is basically for the school. Team Pep stands for Peers Educating Peers. So what we do is we educate people and through presentations about teen dating violence is one of our main topics, sexual assault, consent, things of that nature. So I feel like a lot of what we talk about is taboo as well. You know, we look into a lot about statistics of dating violence, signs of dating violence, how to get out of unhealthy relationships. So I feel like knowing those aspects is crucial in dismantling stigmas of being strong or just pushing through something when you can't.
So in order to make sure that students understand that there are mental health services available in each of their schools, if it's a public school, they should talk to a teacher, a counselor, a principal. We can refer them to mental health services for free, or some of the mental health services will take their parents' insurance, but all students have access to those services. They also have access to services if they are unhoused, if there is domestic violence going on in the home. Anything that our students are going through that puts them at risk, we have services within the schools that we can provide for them. So always remember that if you're listening. Also, Youth Pages Toledo is an app that students can download that has access to many different services, whether it be drug and alcohol issues, mental health issues, human trafficking, sexual assault. There are a multitude of resources on Youth Pages Toledo. You can go to youthpagestoledo.org, or you can go on your Android or your iPhone and download the app, Youth Pages.
This is Naomi. To wrap it up, I just want to say, if anybody who is like in high school or college or just anybody who's listening to it, they can do it, and that it's okay to be vulnerable and share your feelings, and that there's always resources for you to have. You need to find your own people that you can be comfortable with, and just do your best and make sure that when you know that you've been trying too hard or you haven't been taking care of yourself, make sure that you have a day for yourself to have that mental reset, and just do your best. We're all trying. No one's perfect. So it's okay to make mistakes, but make sure that you care for yourself.
This is Santana. To close it up, just remember to be yourself. That when you be yourself, that the right things will fall in place. So be yourself. Take time for yourself, and just remember to prioritize you.
This is Samuel, and to close it off, just a few words. Be confident, be cool, be brave.
This is Gabby, and to close it off, I just want to say, just know there's always going to be someone there who will listen to you no matter what. And like they said, basically stay positive, happy, you know.
We now hear from fearless writers about how they create healthy boundaries.
Hello, my name is Adon Reed, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. A boundary I had to set is personal space. Creating this boundary helped me by keeping me from being weirded out so much. I've experienced boundaries and how to set them. And, you know, sometimes personal space is a good boundary. But even if somebody invades your personal space sometimes, I think it's kind of good if somebody invades your personal space. Like, say you're going through something, invade your personal space and give you a hug. Like, it's okay. You'll go through this. I get it. Personal space is really, really, really something. I just wish there was more to what I was writing.
Hi, this is Amanda Hatton again, and this is Drawing the Line. This is titled, We Couldn't Break You. Those words cut like jagged thorns, ripping my trust away from me. Exposed and wounded, I turned in on myself, a boundary broken and shattered. Where empathy and understanding started, it ended with blurred concern and disappointment. The line I never drew now has become undone.
This is Heather Cleary. Drawing a line in relationships. Kindly and confidently, conflict is not a bad thing. It is a necessary thing. Friction is to be expected when two different viewpoints come together in compromise. I was taught to fear conflict, that conflict is a battle for power. I'm learning it is a necessary symptom, an indicator of a need for change. Conflicts can be faced softly and kindly and can bring peaceful resolution.
Are now joined by Ethan Zabrowski from NAMI of Greater Toledo, who will be discussing the importance of healthy relationships and how peers can support each other in creating healthy communities. Ethan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Ethan Zabrowski. I'm the Youth Programming Coordinator with NAMI of Greater Toledo. My role is to offer NAMI's resources, NAMI on campus clubs, and Ending the Silence presentations to students at high school and college campuses.
How can parents, mentors, or teachers help teens build friendships and dating relationships based on respect and trust, while still giving them room to grow and make their own choices?
I've found that young people maintain respectful and fulfilling relationships when they communicate openly and are well prepared to discuss heavy or uncomfortable topics. NAMI's Ending the Silence program seeks to help teens support their friends while respecting their comfort level. The key in these relationships is to approach a difficult situation from a place of partnership rather than advice giving. There seems to be a popular belief that bringing up difficult topics to a young person puts them at risk, but it's actually proven that people who feel welcome to talk about mental health are more likely to avoid crisis situations. NAMI has found that noticing warning signs and talking about mental health symptoms helps the person affected feel less isolated and encourages them to seek out support.
Many young people hear, just tough it out when they're hurting. What are better ways adults can respond so teens feel safe to share their struggles instead of hiding them?
Telling a teen to just tough it out or get over it just shuts them down on their path to seeking help and discourages them from talking further about their experience. The first step to supporting a peer is to show them that you care and that you're there to listen. Even if you yourself don't have all the answers, you can make a significant impact in a peer's recovery by saying things like, I've noticed you've been withdrawn. I want you to know I'm here to talk, or let's sit down together and look for places to get help. These responses keep the conversation open and establish trust. They also let your peer know that others are willing to stand by their side as they navigate the recovery process.
Where do you see the biggest generational gap when it comes to asking for help in tough times? And how can adults show that vulnerability and emotional expression are strengths, not weaknesses?
The most significant difference I've noticed between young people now and older generations is that young people seem more willing to share their mental health experiences with one another. Teens and young adults seem to be discarding the assumption that vulnerability is a weakness, and by doing that, they're helping spread awareness and knowledge about mental health. One of the principles of support in NAMI support groups reads, "We find strength in sharing experiences," and young people practice this principle very well. They seem to understand that their own experiences with hardship can be used to help their peers and connect with others going through something similar.
What strategies do you think work best for starting conversations about healthy dating, friendship conflicts, or emotional stress, especially with teens who might be reluctant to open up?
Establishing a strong foundation of trust is often the best way to encourage a peer to open up. Young people can do this by reminding their friends that they're interested in listening and helping them work through problems together. Asking open-ended questions will also help your peers share information more comfortably than they would if they were asked a yes or no or this or that question. For example, if I'm concerned about my friend's stress level, I might want to say, "Is your workload wearing you out, or are you okay with it?" Here, I've only given them two short responses to choose from, so I haven't encouraged them to go in depth about how they feel. A better thing to say might be something like, "I've noticed that you seem more stressed than usual. I want to know how you're doing and if there's anything I can do to help. How have you been feeling lately?" Here, I've established that I want to listen, and I've given my friend the floor to share as much as they're comfortable with. We often speed up these difficult conversations out of a desire to fix or solve a person's problem, but sometimes being patient with your peers and practicing active listening can be more impactful.
How can schools, after-school programs, or community organizations provide support when teens feel pressured to stay silent about unhealthy relationships or personal pain?
An important first step for groups to cover tough topics is to gather resources for members who might need more support than the group can offer. We want to support the recovery of our group members and empower them with the means to get the help that they need, and that often means encouraging them to contact organizations who can offer assistance specifically relevant to their situation. A student leader of these clubs might work together with a school counselor or a faculty advisor to come up with resource handouts. Another way to gather resources would be to reach out to a local NAMI or the NAMI National Helpline. The NAMI Helpline, for example, has a teen and young adult resource directory, which lists resources tailored to topics like relationships, accommodations, emergency health services, and many more. Having these resources at hand ensures that the group is prepared enough to support the needs of its members. It's also helpful to have a trusted adult present at club or group meetings to model respect and facilitate group discussions. A mentor figure might want to share their interests and experience with mental health topics so that young people can see that it's normal and productive to talk about these topics. Young people typically want to talk about things like mental health, personal pain, or relationship conflicts, but are hesitant to speak up if a leader or mentor doesn't invite them to do so. This is why having a peer mentor or trusted adult present to break the ice will help them feel welcome to voice their thoughts.
What can adults do in their own relationships with parents, friends, or colleagues that helps young people learn what mutual respect and healthy boundaries look like?
Current teens are growing more confident in establishing boundaries and seeking out environments where they feel represented and respected. During my volunteer experience on the NAMI helpline, I noticed young people requesting help from peers who matched certain demographic markers, like ethnicity, age, gender, or orientation. That they know to seek out help from these specific communities is great, since people from shared communities will likely be able to relate to each other and establish rapport. I've also seen young people set healthy limits on what they're willing to share in a group setting. They often respond to prying or personal questions by saying, "I'd rather not talk about that," or "I don't want to get into that topic yet." These boundaries help their peers realize that they only have to share what they're comfortable with sharing, and that they don't have to feel pressured to talk more than they want to. This is an important skill in recovery, since each person progresses at their own pace, and they do best when they aren't rushed or pressured.
What initiatives or resources have you seen that successfully reduce the stigma of counseling or mental health support, especially for youth who've been told to be strong or shake it off?
There are a number of great clubs at colleges and high schools in Lucas County that work to reduce stigma and educate young people about the supports available to them. Student-led psychology or social science clubs at universities are a great way for students to enter a community of peers who are open to discuss mental health and develop positive coping skills. NAMI offers two programs aimed to reduce stigma and support young people in high schools and colleges. The first of these is NAMI Ending the Silence. This is a presentation model meant to educate middle and high school students about the warning signs of mental illness. These presentations also provide tips on maintaining mental health and tools to discuss tough topics in a proactive and stigma-free way. Ending the Silence presentations also feature a recovery story from a young adult who shares their experience with mental illness, the barriers they faced when seeking help, and the things that help them maintain their mental health. These presentations highlight the hope and success that many people in recovery are capable of attaining. Another program NAMI affiliates offer is NAMI on Campus. NAMI on Campus clubs are student-led and work to reduce stigma on college and high school campuses through club-organized events, presentations, and activities. Members of NAMI on Campus work with their school faculty and their local NAMI affiliate to educate their peers on mental health, increase the visibility of mental health treatments, and even advocate for better supports and policies. These clubs aim to combat isolation in young people and provide them with information and safe places to talk about their concerns as they journey through college and adulthood. By offering a space for their student community to share their experience, NAMI on Campus clubs emphasize that no young person has to go through their mental health journey alone.
Ethan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We welcome back fearless writers to share moments when they felt truly respected by a friend or partner. What made that moment stand out? Think about trust. What are everyday actions that build trust? What actions can break it?
Adrian, 10th grade, Rogers High School. The first time I felt a lot of respect was when I played against a player that was even taller than me. The player was taller than me and more skilled than me, and seen more as a challenge and had it mostly every advantage over me. And I took advantage of that and used my undersized skill to use as an advantage and got respect from it.
My name is Skylar Walton. I'm in 10th grade and I go to Rogers High School. A moment where I felt truly respected by a friend was when my friend gave me some time to clear my head and give me some space. Usually she does this for me and I truly respect it. It means a lot to me because usually some people have bad habits of being too touchy or accidentally making situations worse by not simply just giving that person space. I love my personal space, and depending on who that person is, I don't mind them invading it. But when I'm upset, that's the number one thing I need at the moment. I'm not saying completely throw that person to the side, but like what my friend does, a good checkup every, you know, once in a while would be nice.
I am Joseph Allison from Rogers High School, 10th grade. In my opinion, the recipe to respect is a very short and simple thing. All you really need is the ability to listen, to allow other people to speak, and to just be empathetic. Those are the only things you truly need to give respect.
Recipe for respect. Add kindness to a bowl. Pour common courtesy in, then mix. Add 1/3 of a tablespoon of listening. Bake on 145 degrees for 2 hours, occasionally adding honesty, and take out the oven and add reciprocation icing.
Hi, this is Amanda Hatton again, and this is my moment of respect. Between adult and child, their perceptions blurred and steadfast. I constructed new walls, setting boundaries from experience past. Bracing against the strong winds of adultism, I began a new journey, a new battle where respect must outlast.
This is Heather Cleary. Okay, recipe for respect. 2 cups listening carefully to what I have to say. 1 cup being honest and kind with feedback. 2 tablespoons valuing my perspective, seeking it out even. 1 teaspoon embracing what I have to offer. 1.5 teaspoons allowing me an opportunity to learn from you. 2 tablespoons respect yourself. Otherwise, I will doubt you can respect me.
These aren't just questions, they're truths that matter. By sharing moments of trust, respect, boundaries, and support, we remind ourselves that healthy relationships are possible and they take daily practice. This is No More Silence. Thanks for joining us in this conversation. Let's keep building a culture of care, respect, and courage, one voice at a time. Thank you for listening, and we hope these stories continue to inspire conversation, connection, and understanding in our community. We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to NAMI, the Youth Creating Change Group from Early College, Youth Writers of Fearless Writers. This episode wouldn't have been possible without the support of Dr. Heather Cleary from the University of Toledo's Social Work Program and Rogers High School. And looking ahead to episode 5, we'll dive into zip code health. Thank you for joining us.
WGTE, Voices Around Us.